Reformation. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 17.
Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And the word of the Lord reads like this: to the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold, nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and I do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and without any clothes. You're naked. Now, I know that's not a way to greet you in the morning, but it lays the perfect foundation for what I need to speak about concerning stagnation. Give special notice to verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm or stagnant, I will spit you out of my mouth. I need to continue the series called The Fear Factor. Today's message is entitled Part 1, Overcoming Stagnation. I need to show you how stagnation is tied to fear. And God is about to unstuck us from the ditch of stagnation. Father, I give you praise and thanks for this moment, and I thank you for the anointing that makes my task, my assignment, bearable. Thank you for releasing the injection of your anointing in the atmosphere, your manifested presence that has a way of giving us ears to hear, a mind to comprehend. All over the country, give us a heart to receive and a spirit to contain your word. I thank you for the healing virtue that is released, the faith that arises, the courage that overcomes, the strength to endure, even by our faith. I give you praise that even now faith is arising because fear is being dethroned. Let it be so even through the teaching of your word. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We get the growth and you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be his name. Good place to clap and receive the word of the Lord. It is my joy to teach you today to pastor a great church that is evolving. And I'm excited about it. I believe that God wants us to eradicate fear. So let's confess over the word of God today. Should be on the screen here in a moment. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. This is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. I I want every singer and every musician to learn the confession of faith. I notice we leave quickly. We tired when we finish worshiping. But we need the word too. And I need to see a push toward the word from the worshipers. Let me tell you how powerful worship is. When word is infused, we touch God's heart. God is not touched by talent. He gave it. But when you infuse word with your talent, you touch the heart of God. It may ascend to us. It may move us. But God does not move with talent alone. And my job is to make sure all of his children get around the table to eat. And we can't be so anxious to leave the sanctuary when we're confessing that we miss confession. Because my job is to transport people and resources to a predetermined spot, and we ain't going if we don't participate. And so I appreciate the early rising, but I need you to linger a little bit and get this word in you. Get your coffee and get back under the word. Having chats in the foyer, everybody doing that from the dance all the way to the worship. If you're out in the foyer and you don't stand up under my message, I'm telling you now, your heart is not right and you got to draw closer. And that's what I would like to see. From the dance ministry to the worship and the minstrels, we all have to sit up under the word. Get your coffee and come and sit in the back. Can the church say amen? And for those of you that like to coddle people, think I'm mean, you need to do this with your children. They only show up when they want something. You got to make sure you talk to them. This is how it works. For you pastors that are timid, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And people should know that you love them when you correct them. Glory to God. And if there can't be no correction, there is no community. Not from God's perspective. I'm dealing with stagnation. A lot of times we like to use the word lukewarm or tepid. Is another word for lukewarm. We know the word frigid because we got refrigerator. That would be what? Cold. Tepid would be lukewarm. But if you go to what's hot, we call it torrid or hot. So hot is torrid. Tepid is lukewarm. Frigid is cold. God said, I would rather you to be torrid or frigid. But this lukewarm thing, this tepid thing, it bothers my stomach. That is, I know it, but I'm just going to linger. I'm going to date it, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to stand right here in this lukewarm water of stagnation without engaging. And we've been doing this too long. So let's get hot. I'm not saying get cold. Because if you're cold, you can hurt yourself. Cold people in ministry lack fellowship. In other words, they'll say things like, I just don't like to hang around people. I don't like to be in crowds, but you're in crowds all the time. It is the work of the enemy to push us away from God's system. You were made to integrate yourself into the system of the Lord. Life causes us to back up from God. So God says, if you're frigid, I'm saying you need to warm yourself through fellowship. Write it in your notes. We grow warmer, warmer. We grow warmer out of that frigid condition into a warmer society if we fellowship. So the women's fellowship should be packed with all of our members of the church that are female. And the men's fellowship should be packed with all of our men that are in the ministry, bar none. This ministry pushes a men's conference for over 20 years. And there's no way we should have only 15, 20 men in our ministry that show up for the men's ministry. I know you're cold if you can't show up. And that frigid mentality is not right. So God says, I'd rather you to be hot or cold, or in or out. I'd rather you to be in. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. If you're out, you need to get in. He's basically saying it's hard to judge a person that's lukewarm. A person that comes on Sunday, but they have no godly attitude for the next 6 days. They come, I'm going to do my duty. I'm even going to do what I need to do in terms of my duties in ministry. But my heart is far from him in terms of due diligence, in terms of support, in terms of attitude. I don't even resemble a Christian from Monday to Saturday night. That's what we call stagnation. Or it's hard for me to make a decision. When it comes to God, I need to have five confirmations before I make one step. But we move with faith when it comes to things that are self-grandizing. If it's going to bless you, you step out quick. If it's going to help you, you step out quick. When God wants you to step out quick, just because his word says so, or the Spirit gives us guidance. Amen. I'm moving into a place in my life where anytime the Spirit speaks, I want to move, even if I don't understand. So we grow warmer through fellowship. We grow deeper through discipleship. This is a discipleship ministry. It is not a prophetic ministry, though we have prophets here. Our emphasis is not on prophecy every week. It's on discipleship. Your root system needs to go deeper into the things of God, into his word. You need to have a tap root deep into the word of God, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. That's what happens, stages of growth. When your root system is deep, planted by the rivers of water, you will bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaves will not wither. Your children will stay flourishing, and whatever you do will prosper. A lot of times we don't understand it, but the deeper you are in the word, God has a way of pumping life into your family. When you move from stagnation into being torrid for God or hot for God, he has a way of causing life to pump through you into your family. They can be in different places of the world and just running the blessings. When you sow a seed, it's not just for your harvest, it's for theirs. They're running in the blessings, don't know where they came from. Daddy, mama, I got blessed. And you know how they got blessed. You know. You've been assigning seeds. Let me push back on the enemy. I come against the spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus and a cloudy mind in the name of Jesus. And I need you to sprite yourself. I need you to revive your mind and your attention in the midst of it. I need you to pay attention to the word of God. So I come against this dull response to the things of God. Let's shift the atmosphere and give God a praise in the name of Jesus. Let's shift the atmosphere. Give us ears to hear, a mind to comprehend. Give us a heart to receive and a spirit to contain the word, and we will give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, sometimes I feel the enemy coming in like a fog. We like to say he comes in like a flood, but he comes in like a flock of dusty minds. What you been doing? Why aren't you sharp this morning? What you been doing? Clear your mind and let the Holy Ghost speak to it. Glory to God. So we grow deeper through discipleship. We grow broader through ministry functions. And so if you've gone through the new members class and assimilated, you need to take a gift assessment and then plug into a ministry. Because this is how we grow broader in our community. And God wants our foliage to be great. He wants our foliage and our root systems to expand beyond the building into the community. We need to be relevant to this community. And the ministry functions here are designed to touch people beyond the walls. In other words, this is a church without boundaries or walls. We have structure to keep our people moving toward a predetermined spot. But we also have, we are a church without walls. In other words, we're not just having church. We are the church. And when you leave here today, you're taking the church, because you are the church, into your environment, into the framework of your environment. And this is how it's supposed to function. We're not supposed to come in and just have church. We had good church. No, you are the church. The church is on the move every time you go to Walmart. I almost said Kmart, but they gone. See, I got to get my mind right. Walmart. What is another big store? Target. Yes, Target. And Albertsons. Publix. Wendy's. What's Aldi's? Yeah, Aldi's. Thrifty. So when you go to these places, you're supposed to represent the Lord, right? You're the church, right? When you get upset the next time somebody's in your way and you're on the highway, you're not supposed to give them the finger. You're supposed to give them the thumbs up. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. I give you life, I give you life, I give you life, I give you life. Not the finger, not the finger, I give you life, not the finger, I give you life. Hey, get out of the way, get out of the way. What are you doing, man? Get out of the way, hey. That's not the way believers are supposed to act. I give you life in the name of Jesus, I give you life. Lord, help me, please help me. Discipleship helps that. Memorizing scripture helps that. That takes discipline. We have a discipleship ministry. Great leaders, get involved. The Douglases have been doing this since 1999. Prince was Prince said, I'm going to party like it's 1999. The artist formerly known as Prince said, I'm going to party like it's 1999. And in 1999, this couple came into our ministry. I still remember. I took this man to Friendly's. It's there no more. There's a 7-Eleven at the corner of Pirate Lane or Eber, I believe, and Babcock. There used to be an ice cream store there called Friendly's. Well, I went to Friendly's with this man. This is 25 years ago, 26 years ago. And said, I would like for you to lead the discipleship ministry in our church. He and his lovely wife have done that for 26 years. Hundreds and hundreds of people have gone through their course. Hundreds of people have gone through their course. And we're grateful for the discipleship ministry because we grow deeper there. And a lot of people have moved on, but that foundation is there in ministry. You grow deeper through discipleship. You grow larger through evangelism. Larger through evangelism. Stagnation. Now, you got to get rid of stagnation because we grow larger. If you're stagnant, we can't expand. If you have an evangelistic anointing, you need to help sure the ministry is growing larger. And evangelism isn't hard. I was teaching new members class. And for those of you that haven't set up under 1 and 8 with me, you've got to get involved. There's an impartation with your senior pastor. Some of you that's been in the ministry a long time, you need to go back to the new members class so you can catch the spirit of truth revealed. I mean, you've been here so long, you got stale, you're stuck. You're like the tin man. And every time you move, we can hear. There's no fluency. There's no fluency. It hurts to move. You're not a robot. Come on. I need you to jump out of that and start becoming fluent. I need you to become fluent with it. You need to learn how to flow with it. You need oil in your tin or in your vessel. And coming through the class again sometimes causes you to surge again. Well, Bishop, it's been a long time. I know. I can tell. Every time I teach in the new members class, I can tell where the students are. And there's always an impartation like yesterday. We were talking about the kingdom life. That's the orientation lesson and lesson 8. And we're talking about the kingdom life, and one of the things you have to do is witness if you want to establish the kingdom life. And all of you all need to go back and dust off your new members orientation and look at aid. We have to establish the kingdom life. And one of those things is witnessing. Witnessing, taking the gospel out. As I was talking with new members yesterday, one lady said, Bishop, I'm comfortable with talking to friends or people that I know. Her husband, on the other hand, can talk to strangers. He's very comfortable at talking to strangers. He has no problem at all with greeting strangers and then sharing what he believes the word is saying. I said, well, start with what you're comfortable with. But witnessing is not hard. All you're doing is testifying of what happened to you. So ain't he good to you? Yeah, he good. Okay. Say, ain't he good? So if he's good to you, all you have to do is tell somebody. Anybody here ever went to Cinema World and had a good movie? Come on, help me preach, all right? Anybody ever saw a good movie, say, on Netflix and it was good, right? Did you tell anybody? That's witnessing. Oh my God, I saw a good movie. Let me tell you about it. That's all witnessing is. Ooh, I had an encounter with Jesus. Let me tell you about it. He picked me up, turned me around, helped me. No, I was trying to preach. Hallelujah. That's why I don't like to preach. I don't like these religious. I like to say stuff people ain't used to. People go to church, be trying to say what the preacher's about to say. I know the word. He picked me up, turned me around. What upset my feet? On solid ground, did he? Then why are you sinking every time you step? Why am I having to dig you out of a rut every Sunday? If he picked you up and turned you around and set your feet on solid ground, why are you stagnant? I say he picked you up and he turned you around. Hallelujah. He set me free. The turnaround is repentance. All right. That's why we need discipleship. And if you have a time where God turned you around, in other words, you're an ex something. You got ex something. And I didn't say you got an ex-husband or ex-wife. Ex-fornicator. Ex-alcoholic. Ex-robber. Ex-thief. Man, I had a lady say, please pray for me, Bishop. Why? Because I just see that dress in Dillard's. See, my mama had us stealing when we were kids. I just see that dress. Like sometimes I'm in church worship, I can see that dress. I want to get free so I can get the dealers and take it on, right? Ball it up, put it in my stuff, and go home. I've been doing this since I was a child. I need to be set free. Don't laugh at her, because a lot of us got stuff that we pick up and we pack it, but we don't want nobody to know. I said, lift up your hands and hold your head back. Open your mouth. I started to pour oil in her mouth. But I cursed the spirit of theft that's been carrying this girl since her youth. Because her mama taught her how to steal. Oh, my God. And I know many of you got stories. This is why we need the local church. Stop trying to act like you never ate chicken lips and chicken gizzards. I know you have. Chicken feet. I don't know what's up with our people, man. They want to come here and act like they never tasted desperate, but I know you have. I don't care how rich you are, your grandparents, somebody, my grandmother had an outhouse. When we went to her house, we had to go outside of the cabin, which was on a sharecropper's property, and we had to go into an outhouse, and it smelled bad. I looked in it, I said, my God. That's not too far from us. So I know my grandmother, my people came from desperation. When I was born, in the city of Titusville. My parents built a house the next year, so I moved into a house that had plumbing. That's how I came in, but that's not the story of my parents. They didn't have that luxury. They paid a price so we can have flushing toilets. Now, this is what's amazing to me. Everybody's flushing, but you don't know where it came from. Amen. And so I'm grateful for that. I had a chance to peek into the previous life. I'm glad I wasn't there. When I came up, there was no such thing as a remote control. You had to get up every time you changed the channel and walk up there and turn it. That's how it was. I'm not trying to take you way back, but if you grew up like this, fling, 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 you don't understand what I'm talking about. You never tasted desperate. What you mean you stressed? What do you mean you're too young to be stressed? Stressed from what?
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Overcoming Stagnation, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Join us as we celebrate a shepherd who leads tirelessly and makes a lasting impact on our church and community. Show your love and appreciation for Bishop by giving through our website, truthrevealed.org, the Truth Revealed mobile app, or Cash App at Truth Revealed 2. Checks can be made payable to Truth Revealed. Please indicate Pastor Appreciation on the memo line. Men, save the date. Get ready for Sixth Man 2.0 Reloaded, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, happening Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Mark your calendars, set a reminder, and we'll see you at Truth Revealed for this powerful experience. New members' classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
We hear about it all too often. Christians who, for one reason or another, gradually drift away from God and abandon their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe that's happened to you. Billy Graham knew there's a reason for this.
We live in enemy territory, and Satan's purpose is to create an atmosphere of immorality where professing Christians yield to temptation. We're living in a day when there's a great falling away from the faith.
That sounds pretty ominous, but there is something we can do to turn that around.
A spiritual awakening among Christians could change the whole process of history and reverse the immoral tide that is sweeping the nation. May God help us Christians to turn back to Him.
Are you ready to start a spiritual awakening in your life? Then pay us a visit at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Thank you.